Thank you, Mo and Aaron, for putting that together as well today. I'm so glad to see you today. For those of you that have been praying for snow, stop. Please. Courtney, you've been praying for snow. Gentlemen in the back, give her a snow shovel when she walks out. We'll change her heart. Yeah, praise the Lord. But it's okay. We've been blessed, and I'm so grateful for that. Andy and Lisa, I want you to stand up. Look at these people. And Andy, I first want to tell you, I remember meeting you in your mom and dad's backyard. And if you don't know me, when guys begin to date one of the girls in the church, I put them through a little exercise. And Andy, I just want you to know you're beyond anything I ever anticipated. For that young lady that I love and that I've known since she was a little girl, I love you both. So grateful for you. Can you put your hands together once more for them? Thank you. Love you. And Chuck and Cheryl, I honor you and I thank God for the both of you. You have contributed not only to the lives of your family, but because you've been faithful to God, to your family. Look at the people that love you and that are here. And you saw your other little girl up here doing what she does. And somebody just told me this morning in the first service, they said your message was great. And she said, but I just love when I hear Pastor Aaron and Pastor Ryan as well. And let me tell you something. That's a blessing to me, because that means that I did good homework, doesn't it? And these, they're all amazing. So Chuck and Cheryl, I thank God for you. I honor you today. Can we put our hands together for these faithful people? God, love you. And all the online audience today, I know the audience is up online. The snow, the bills are playing, many other things. Still, you're working through New Year's Eve. The Lord bless you. And we're just so grateful that you're watching with us today. We love you. And I said earlier this morning, last week I mentioned a few states and I forgot some. We've got Phoenix, Arizona that is watching, several in Florida, North Carolina, Texas, California, and I can't remember all of them, but if I forgot you, put your name, put in the little box there where you can, either on Facebook or YouTube. Let us know where you're from. We love you so much and thank God for you. And I think we need a yes day in our lives. I think we do. Yes to bacon in the morning. Yes to a cheeseburger in the afternoon. Yes to a great pizza at nighttime. A yes day. I used to take the kids. I remember one day I took Garrett. I was taking him to school, and I told his mom, I said, I'm gonna do a real break the rules day. I don't even think I did this with his brothers, but I did it with Garrett. And we're driving to school, and we drove right by the road that the school is on. He said, Dad, you missed our road. I looked at him, and I said, today, honey, it's you and I. We're going to have a break the rules day. He goes, does Mom know? So sometimes you just got to go off script a little bit and just have some real fun. And I pray that this year will bring that to you. This coming Wednesday, now, so all of our small groups and everything, and I know, and I'm so grateful that some of you are upset about it with me. I did not make the decision. It was a corporate decision that was made to give everybody a little chance just to breathe a little extra. But I'm really excited that some of you are downright ticked off about it, that you miss your groups and you miss your people. Well, you have this thing called the telephone. You can pick it up, you can reach out, and you can let others know you love them. And it'll just, I hopefully, that when we start up again next week, you'll be 100% all in. This Wednesday, though, we're doing our first food distribution again. Do you know that the city church has been doing this food distribution on Wednesdays now We're in our 21st month of doing that. Is that amazing or what? Yeah. And so that happens this week. And if you've never been a part of it and you want to be, just show up, 7:30, 7:45, and we'd love to have you be a part of that. And if you know somebody that's in need, let's help them. We want to be a blessing to them. Lord, just for the next few minutes, take the words that I say, infuse them with your words, I pray. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hey, turn to the person next to you and say, looks like New Year's has done you good. Go ahead. With different people saying that God dropped words into my, I believe that as well, that I believe that the Lord has something for every one of us, that he drops a particular theme or word in our heart for a particular time. And I pray that you will seek him. And it might not be something big, it can be just something small, but it can really impact and transform your life when you believe what he is calling you to and you just begin to walk in it. And I felt the Lord this last month. I don't know if I saw it somewhere, it just came to me, but I just felt the word turnaround come into my heart. And as I began to pray and to ask the Lord about that, I really felt a push in that direction just to talk about that it is time for a turnaround. For some of you, you've been in positions in your life that have held you in a particular state of mind or a place that has been unhealthy for you in different ways. And I believe that if you'll trust God with your future and your life, and you'll have conversations with him, that he will give you the turnaround and he will lead you up and out of a place that you feel trapped in, you feel captive in, and take you to a place of freedom and hope. I heard this phrase this last week, and I thought it was so good. Your age is not your cage. So many people get to a certain place in their life, and because of what the world has patterned for them, they think, well, okay, this is what I do. I sit in a chair now. I retire. And can I say this? This is the second time this week somebody came up to me and they said, so I heard you're retired. Now, anybody that knows me knows that I don't even believe in that word. Do I do everything that I've done for the last 25 years? And incidentally, this coming Easter, the city church will celebrate 25 years. Is that amazing? A little thing just jumped up inside of me when they said that. I'm like, where did you hear that? And they told me, and I'm like, I want to call up that person and say, where did you hear that? Don't let your age be your cage. Don't stop because you get to a certain place in your life and say, well, everybody talks about if I could just work a little bit longer, then I'm going to retire. And do what? Get rusty and dusty and just stop, or move into another dimension in your life that will bring honor and glory to God. I'm believing that, when I begin to think about this and I begin to think about 2022, the pandemic that we've been through and how it's held people in position and like in a holding pattern, and I don't know when it's all going to change, but I'm going to tell you something. The timing of it has changed my heart. I look at life now with a greater depth of appreciation. I don't take for granted the small things that are given to me on a regular basis. And I think, well, that's just the way life is. Now I look at them and I embrace them with, God, thank you for the kindness that you have given to me. And he wants to move some of you into a greater place in your life than you've ever been before, and not to let all the external things that are happening in the world keep you from experiencing that. Now, saying that, I'm thinking about, international missions trips. Although Carol went to Mexico a few weeks ago, did an incredible job, there are opportunities and avenues that are open depending on, how you feel about it and what the Lord lays in your heart. But I want to encourage you to begin to believe him for things that you have not yet seen and not yet heard. I love the scripture in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20, reading it in the Good News Translation. God is wise and powerful. Praise him forever and ever. Listen to this, verse 21. He controls the times and the seasons. He does. Nobody else does. God controls the times and the seasons. Well, if we parked right there just for a minute and we know that he controls those times and those seasons, wouldn't it seem prudent for you and I to go to him when we are in a particular season that is difficult and ask him for his grace in the midst of it? He controls the times and the seasons. He makes and he unmakes kings. It is he who gives wisdom and understanding. And if you've been waiting for God to change the times and the seasons of your life, I believe that when you engage in what he has for your life, that this will be your time for that turnaround in your life. If he can make a pathway through the Red Sea, if he could send water through a rock and give manna from the sky, he can change the times and the seasons of your life. He can change a difficult boss, a stubborn teenager, maybe your spouse that has just gone off the wall. He can change that. He can do it in an instant. He can turn your financial status around. He can turn your health around. And you're going to hear about that in just a minute. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to visit you with great power and great anointing to give you the clarity and the wisdom that you and I need to enter into 2022. Because I believe that as we seek him for the clarity and the wisdom, it will move us in pathways that will keep us from more toil and more pain in our lives. Because I believe it's time for favor. This is going to be a season where he'll release increase on your life. He'll release overflow, and he will cause you to arise and your enemies to be scattered. But you need to rise up as well. You and I, we must make the choices that are going to lead us in the directions that we are praying and asking him for. Come on. You've got to make those choices. You can't ask God to help you lose weight and you're sitting down with a bowl of Cheetos and dip in front of you, putting it in your mouth as fast as you can. Listen, for some of you that I dislike passionately that do that and are skinny, God, I won't go there. But you have to rise up too. You can't put things in your body that are unhealthy for you and ask him for divine healing. And I've seen this all my life. The first people to get into a line where people are praying for them, laying hands on them, will go out and they'll put things in their body that are destructive to them. You have to rise up to a place where God can do supernatural in your life. For some, it's rising to a place that you've never been before, believing over your own personal abilities that God will take you farther than you have ever been. And everyone around you may be losing their mind, but in the midst of it, when you follow and practice what he has called you and I to do, you can live in peace, you can live in blessing, you can live in harmony. I was talking to my son Ben, you're going to hear from him in just a minute, just the other day. I am at an age where I look at my boys and I'm so grateful for what God has done in their lives. Can I tell you something? When they were in their mother's belly, I would put my face up against her belly and I would speak God's word into their lives. I would say things like, you're blessed and highly favored. I would say things like, you're going to walk with God. You're going to live for God. Your families are going to serve the God. I'm just a kid, just not long saved myself. But I heard a preacher tell that story about doing that. And as just as I'm telling you today, I pray for that some of you will begin to do that with your kids. Instead of looking at your children and saying this wrong with them, there's that wrong with them, you begin to declare over their lives what a blessing they are, how blessed they are. God's favor is on them. The goodness of God resides on them day and night. And when you do that, you see the hand of God begin to work in your life. And I have to make those decisions, and sometimes I do it reluctantly because making good choices doesn't always seem to be right or easy. But making good choices is always the right thing to do. And as you enter into a new season, you have to determine in your heart some of the things that you've been carrying with you, you have to leave behind. Listen, they're not going to go away just unexpectedly because we're going into 2022. You have to make the move. You have to make the decision. The old song that so many people sing on Christmas Eve, it was, and they don't even know anything about it. It was written by a Scotsman by the name of Robert Burns in 1788. It says, should old acquaintance, old, spelling is right up on the screen, A-U-L-D. It's a Scottish, an old Scottish song. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of auld lang syne? For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. That phrase, auld lang syne, means days in the past. And there are some things we need to remember, but there's also some things we need to forget. And what do I bring in to 2022 that I need to leave behind? And sometimes we have a tendency on the other side of that to just focus on what was hard and what was difficult. Oh, my gosh, I can't wait till, I had to go through this and I had to go through that. And we all have gone through something. But let me remind you, we've all had some great victories in our lives. And just think about if your kids, you got done with Christmas and maybe it's, you know, this next Christmas is coming up and say, man, I hope this year is better than last Christmas. And you're sitting there thinking, well, do you remember all these things I did for you and I got for you? And all you and I do. And I wonder what God thinks sometimes. All we do is focus on, oh, that was bad and this is bad and, oh, I can't believe I went through that. How about the good things that you went through? How about the blessings that God has given you? How about the victories that God has given to you? How about the incredible moments? I've married people this year. I've dedicated babies. Beautiful. How about the incredible family moments that you and I have experienced this year? And saying that, I want to share one with you this morning. Ben, come on up. An incredible family moment for all of us. This is my oldest son, Benjamin. Can you put your hands together for this handsome young man?
So for those of you that don't know me, I've been going to church my whole life, primarily in the early years because I was made to. Now I go because I want to. But no, I'm just a super real guy if you get to know me. But this last year, I started experiencing some pain in my arm after I was playing drums. And I was like, oh, this is really weird. So after a while, I told my brother, he's like, you'll be fine. And then it kept on happening. So I had to stop playing drums. As many of you know, that can be hard, you know, just to give up on something that you do for a long time. So I took a break, and I thought it would get better. Went to the doctor in June, and the doctor said, I'm going to send you for an ultrasound, and we're gonna have you go to a surgeon. So I went and got an ultrasound, went to a surgeon, and we did a pre-op. So he looked at it and he says, yeah, it's, you know, it should be okay. You know, we'll get it out of there and we'll do surgery. So I had surgery scheduled for October, and October 6th I scheduled surgery, and I got in the pre-op room, and the guy says, hey, I'm concerned. I don't feel like I'm qualified to do surgery on your arm on that particular spot. He says it's more involved than what I had originally thought. I think you should see a hand surgeon, arm, you know, somebody that knows how that's going to affect your hand. And I remember calling my wife from the pre-op room and telling her that I wasn't going to be able to have that surgery. And just, you know, tears are going down my face because all I'm thinking of is, you know, now that it's more involved, am I going to be able to have full use of my hand, my arm? I was concerned. And, you know, as a dad, you know, you're starting to plan, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do things that I used to do. And at my job, I'm not digging a ditch, so it's definitely not that bad. But I use a computer a lot all day. And, you know, you think of things that you can and can't do. So I'm just thinking, boy, this is not going to be good. And it's my right arm. So I had played drums for years, and your right arm's a big deal when that's your dominant hand. So all these things are going through my mind, and I'm very concerned. So I called her. We're both on the way home, and, you know, full of faith and power, you know, we're crying, you know, and thinking, oh, boy, this is not going to be good. Because, you know, again, we're pretty realistic people. So I began to pray and just ask the Lord to help me. And then I became disinterested with my arm. And I started listening to the song Jireh. I don't know if any of you know what it is. It just says that, hey, God, you're enough. You know, whatever, in any circumstance, I know I'm going to be okay. God, you're enough. So kind of fast forward a little bit. I had worked with my doctor. Went for an MRI. She said, hey, listen, it was like a month and a half past that. My wife and I went away on vacation. We're like, hey, we're not going to find out results. We're not going to do anything. So my doctor called and said, hey, the MRI was inconclusive, but we want to send you back for another ultrasound. And I'm like, okay, I'm very busy. Just ask me. I'll tell you how busy I am. So I was like, okay, when can we do this? And she's like, this time. And I'm like, I can't go then. And at that point, I'm like, if it gets bigger, it gets bigger. It is what it is. It had been 2 centimeters the last time they looked at it. And I was like, all right, I don't have time for this. So you ever get like that? You're just like, you know what? Whatever. It is what it is. So I go back to the doctors. She says, I want you to go for an ultrasound. I got an ultrasound a couple weeks ago. And I didn't even care what was going on, because I had seen the first time I went, I looked at the screen the whole time. I'm like, what do you see? And she's measuring it. You know how they measure things on the ultrasound. This time, there was a girl doing the ultrasound. There was another girl in there that was, you know, kind of an assistant learning person. So I was talking to the one girl. And I was like, oh, so you're new. What are you doing? All the while, the girl's on, you know, doing my arm. I talked to her about, you know, her and doing babies, ultrasounding babies and stuff like that. And then the girl, about a half an hour goes by, and I'm just, like, chilling out. I almost wished I brought coffee, you know, kind of, all right, I'm out of here. I'm going to work now. We got done. She says, hey, you're all set. I'm like, okay. Wiped off my arm. I just left. I didn't even think to ask her anything. Didn't even look up at the screen. I just was like, okay, it's one more step. Because this had been, you know, I figured it out this morning. I looked at my calendar. It was 8 doctor's appointments that I'd been to. And it just at some point, you just get tired. So you just get, I get done. Didn't even think to call the doctor's office to follow up. 2 days later, the doctor's office calls. And I was like, oh, I probably, they're going to tell me what I got to do next. You know, it's always the next thing. She calls and says, hey, Ben, we don't see anything in your arm anymore. She goes, I don't know what to say, but you're all set. I'll follow up with you next time you have a doctor's appointment. So I call my wife, and I'm like in my office, and there's people everywhere, and I'm like, okay, I gotta, give me a second. So I go in my office, and I'm like tearing up, I'm crying. I call my wife, I call my dad, and I'm like, I can't even believe this. And my dad goes, I can believe it. And I say that, and I give you this testimony, and I'm just sharing from my heart. Like, this is like where I'm at. I told my dad, I said, I'm fearful that something will come back, and the enemy will hear me, and all of a sudden I'll get under attack. And Aaron's word this morning about the yes, this is the year of yes for her. I can promise you that was not the first thing that came to my mind when my dad asked me to share my testimony. I was like, I don't want the devil to hear this, but I will tell you, as just a guy, as just a normal guy, the fear that you have that something will come up and sneak up and bite you again, it's definitely real there. But I really can tell you that 100% my heart is in the place where, Jireh, God, you're just enough. You're just going to be enough. I've gotten through other bad stuff. We're going to get through more bad stuff. But I just encourage you. Praise the Lord, God. He still does things. He still does miracles. He's got our backs. He got our family's backs. So just want to encourage you today.
Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Big. That's beautiful. He's still in the healing business. He's still in the restoration business. And Ben, don't be afraid of the enemy. He's nothing compared to a mighty, holy God. Nothing. So what do we leave behind? What do we make a decision that we leave behind? I want to just give you a couple. Number one's old acquaintances. This is one of the challenges in my life. I'm a very relational person. But within that, I'm learning that if people can walk away from me, I don't have to stand there weeping because evidently God knew that I didn't need them for my future. And if I did, they'd still be there. You have to stop feeling bad for the people that God has removed from your life. He saw things you did not see, and he heard conversations that you did not hear. And God put people in your life for a reason and for a season, and it's important to understand if that season ever does come to an end. Because you and I, you can't control that. But what you can control is doing the right thing in your life when the wrong thing happens to you. When somebody makes it hard. When somebody talks negative about you. When somebody spreads a lie or something or talks about you. It is imperative that at those moments in your life that you speak good. Because you are not called to live with that poison inside of you. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that God, that all things work together for good to those that love God. Now, he doesn't create everything. I saw somebody this week, and they were telling me about this wretched path that they've been on in their life because of the negative choices they'd made. And they said, well, I'm happy that's the pathway that God had for my life. No, it's not. The pathway that he has for your life is for you to live for him and honor him and then live from the fruit of what you sow in your life. He does not take you down trouble. God did not make you a drug addict. He didn't make you an alcoholic. He didn't make you or he didn't create your spouse to be abusive to you. God is not in that. What he created for you to have life and have it more abundantly. What he created is for you to have the power of God in your life so you can say no concerning those things that are destructive to you. You can say no to the people who are destructive to you and live in the blessing and in the peace that God has brought for you to live in. Because we know, and even if we've been or we are in a tough time, God's going to turn it around for you because he said he's going to take that pain. He's going to take that agony. He did it with Ben. When they left, they were weeping. They were crying. But in a moment, God turned it around. And he took what the enemy meant for evil. And he did something beautiful with it. And that's what he'll do in your life. Because as the song says, if I'm not dead, God's not done. Greater things, they're still to come. Now, so stop reliving the hurts and the pains. Stop feeding them by giving them so much attention because you can't feed your destiny and feed your history at the same time. Sometimes you got to cut that stuff off. You got to quit giving it attention. Quit saying and boo-hooing what somebody did or did not do for you and begin to embrace the plan that God has called you and I to. Can I just tell you, it's so much better than the other that I just described to you, to trust him, to love him, to walk in his pathways and walk in his life. When you do that, he opens up something brand new and you will experience the turnaround in your life. Oh, come on. Are you listening to me this morning on this snowy Sunday morning? God has good for you and it's time for you and I to embrace it and leave some of the old stuff behind. The second thing, you got to leave some of your old history behind. Isaiah 43:18-19, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Some people dwell so much on it, their past becomes who they are. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on them. He said, see, this is important for you to look at this. See, I am doing a new thing. It springs up. Don't you perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Because he's always preparing something for you and I. And he says, when he makes the statement, see, I am doing it. I am doing a new thing. He already has your new thing in play in your life. He's already putting it together for your life. You think when Ben got the first negative news about his arm that God wasn't already working a miracle and a testimony in his life and he didn't even know about it? And I'm not saying for him to be fearful and, you know, to get to him and nod to that, that's unnatural. That's very natural. But I'm encouraging all of us today that when bad news comes to us, you retreat, you answer it with good news. If God be for me, if God is with me, what can be against me? Oh, come on, if you're going to clap today, let's clap like we mean it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that King of Aram, his army was against the people of Israel. And one night he was so enraged by the prophet Elisha, because Elisha had said, the prophet can even hear the conversations that you're having in your bedroom. Wouldn't you just love somebody to come along and say that to you? And when he had said that, the Bible says that the king of Aram was so enraged that he sent a strong force to where Elisha was, and he encircled the place where he was staying at night. The Bible says that when they woke in the morning, that the servant of Elisha got up and he went outside and he looked and he saw these chariots and horses all around where they were standing. He ran back into Elisha. He said, Elisha, you're never going to believe this. We've got all these people that are out there, these forces. They're going to kill us. They're going to destroy us. And Elisha didn't skip a beat. He said, Lord, open up his eyes. Help him to see what he can see in the natural. People say seeing is believing, but can I tell you, believing first, then you will see. And the Bible says that he said, Lord, open his eyes. And then he said to his servant, go look again. And for some of you, you need to take a second look at the life that God has given you. Instead of you complaining and saying and looking at everything that you don't have or you wish you could do, begin to thank God for what you do have and the abundance that he's already given and entrusted to you. And when that servant went out and looked, he saw behind the army of Aram was the army of the living God that was going to take down what the enemy was trying to do in their lives. Let me tell you something. When God is for you, nothing can stand against you. It may look bleak. It may look dark. It may look tough. But I want to encourage you today, see what you can't see in your natural. Sometimes you just got to close your eyes and begin to see by the eyes of the Spirit the things that God is preparing for you and I. He's preparing right now. He's working something out right now in your future that you don't even realize. Because, and when we know that, that's just a good time just to stop and say, God, I thank you for that. In fact, come on, let's just tell him right now, God, thank you for that. Come on, just take a praise break right now. Just say, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. Come on, you ought to do it like you already see it happening. God, I thank you for it. He says, don't you perceive it? Can't you see it? Can't you understand it? You got to disconnect from the way you used to do things and the way you used to see things and walk in the new that he has for you. And I'm going to believe for the new that God has promised, not only for my life, but for your life as well. Matthew 17:20, he said to them, because of your little faith, but truly I say to you, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Look at that last phrase. Nothing shall be impossible for you. I love that. I'm going to put that up on my wall. Nothing will be impossible for you because God is for you. And then you have to leave behind some old hurts in your life, some disappointments. Some things that you'd hoped for that just did not happen. And you just feel devastated by it. And this is a process that God wants to be involved in himself. And here Paul says it again in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. There's that word again, new. God is making new for you. Maybe it didn't work out. Maybe you didn't see what you were hoping to see. But he goes on to say, the old is gone, the new is here. Even when you don't see it. You have to believe it. I can't go back and change the beginning, but I can start where I am, and I can change the ending. So what do I start with? I'm going to close on these three thoughts. Number one, you got to start with a renewed commitment to God. And some of you need to do that. Some of you need to start with a renewed commitment to God. You say, well, you know, me and him are cool. And you come off with all that nonsense verbiage that means nothing when your life is falling apart. Recommit your life to Jesus. The Bible says in James chapter 4:8, simple, come close to God and he come close to you. Come close to God and he'll come close to you. Get rid of all the religious jargon and enter into a relationship that will not only change your life, but it'll change your children, your family, and the history that you've been put on this earth for. Oh, come on today. A new recommitment to God. Get into a small group when they start. Get into a Bible reading plan. Get into a prayer time. Commit your life to prayer. And for some of you, prayer and fasting. So, well, I can't do that. I heard a guy describing fasting the other day. He said they shouldn't call it fasting. It should be called slowing. Because when you fast, it is the longest season that you will ever experience in your life. But some of you need to do that. You go to our website. There's a whole link on there about fasting. Renew your commitment to God. Second, be a friend to someone. Quit waiting for everybody to come to you. You go to them. Be a friend to somebody. Can I tell you something? When you give, when you sow into somebody else's life, when you do something, God will bring things into your life that will be an incredible blessing to you. Be a friend. You'll discover great things in your life when you connect with others. Don't be the last one in and the first one out. Be the first one in and sometimes be the last one out. Commit. Connect. Talk to somebody. Somebody could be in this building today that could be connected with your destiny, and you don't know it because you can't get out of the rut that you have created in your life. You got to do this. You got to get your coffee at a certain time. And I know that's important, but sometimes you just got to expand. You got to let some things go. Connect with somebody. The Bible says in James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for one another that you may be healed. We go to God for forgiveness of sin, but we go to one another when we need to be healed in our body. Because we can have people pray for us and agree together for us. We can confess our faults to one another and receive prayer and be delivered from the stronghold of the enemy in our lives. Don't live life alone. Live life together. Do life together. And then last, live for things that matter. Some people put all their energy in the temporal things that mean nothing in the long sense, in the long term. Live for things that matter, things that last forever. The scripture in Acts 20 and 24 in the Message, it says, what matters most to me, Paul says, is to finish what God started. The job the Master Jesus gave me, look at this, of letting everyone I meet know all about this incredibly extravagant generosity of God. If you know me, if you've been around me, I share the gospel anywhere, at any time, with anybody. I love doing it. I've always loved it. I've had some incredible encounters. Sometimes I just get going that I forget what is right in front of me. And I got a call, a message from Pastor Ron Bergio, Pastor Chris Ball, New Year's night. Hey, we're meeting for coffee in Batavia in the morning. Can you come? Sure, 8:30, meet him. Coffee. Sit down, order the coffee. Sit down. Pastor Ron Bergio comes over. He's got this big smile on his face. He says, I'm going to pray for that girl up there. Now, I've been in this coffee shop several times. Know who the girl, don't know her, know of her. She's very quiet, very business-like. Yep, thank you. You know, order my triple tall coffee. black coffee with 3 shots of espresso. Come on, somebody say amen to me. And she gives it to me. Have a good day. He comes back. He says, I'm going to pray for that girl. I'm thinking to myself, she's kind of walled off. He says, no. He says, I'm going to pray for her. And we're talking. A little bit goes into it. He's looking around. Nobody's up there. He says, I'm going right now. And I go over there, and I'm thinking he's going to be there, you know, 30, 40 seconds. In about 4 or 5 minutes, he comes back. He's big smile on his face. He said, so beautiful. I begin to talk to her. He said, tears begin to come down her face. I began to pray for her. He said, ask her about Jesus in her life. She asked me to pray for her fiance. He said it was a beautiful moment. And I sat there right in that moment, right under my nose in the city that God has brought me to. And I forgot to do what Paul says, that Jesus gave me the gift of letting everyone know about this incredibly extravagant gift of God. Get so busy. Got to have my coffee. Got to go here. Got to go there. And just keep on moving and forget what really matters in life. Are you listening to me for this just a moment this morning? I pray that every one of you will take moments out of your life this week and ask God, before you leave here today, Lord, who would you like me to say something to? It's not just the preacher's job. It's all of us. Because when we do that, the things that we think are so important to us, they look so minimal. They look so small to us. Listen, connect your life with things that really matter, and your future will change in a moment. Close your eyes, bow your head with me today. Those of you that are watching online as well, I'm so thankful for every one of you. If you've never given Jesus your heart and your life, you will never experience what Paul says is the extravagant generosity of God. Ask him to come into your heart. Ask him, say, Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior. Ask him to forgive you of your sin and be your Savior and your Lord today. Lord, I thank you for everyone that is here today, those that are watching online as well. I pray your hand to rest upon them, to do them good all the days of their lives. And I pray that in this season that we're in this moment that we're moving into a new year, a new time, that we will see turnarounds on a regular basis. And Lord, when we see them, we'll give you thanks and we'll give you all the praise for them. Lord, now bless this beautiful people, those that are here and online. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. I love you. I thank God for you. Come on, isn't the Lord good to all of us today? I love you. Meet somebody. Greet somebody on the way out. Tell them it's great to see them in God's house today. I love you.